What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
After clinching the number one seed in the West, the Lakers came out flat against the Thunder in a 105-86 loss last night. LeBron was the only Lakers starter to hit double-digit points with 19, and the 86 points was a season low for LA. The Lakers also only shot 13% from three and just 35% overall. It was also the only game all season the Lakers never had a lead. Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard joins us now. Chris, how concerned should the Lakers be? Should LeBron be after that loss?
Well, look, the Clippers are 1-2. The Bucks are 1-2. And T.J. Warren looks like the next Michael Jordan. So I'm not going to overreact to what I'm seeing the first 2 weeks in the bubble. So Shannon can relax. I don't think they're in trouble. All that said, they obviously aren't playing well at all. Let's start with the stars. LeBron is not playing well, and not consistently. He's had his moments when he really picked it up. Him shooting 42%, which is what he's doing in the bubble, that's uncharacteristic. Because he's usually very efficient from the floor. But I think with LeBron, like, he's the least of my worries. Because I feel like at this stage of his career, LeBron really is like, how much is he into, quote unquote, meaningless games? Okay? They already have the number one seed locked up. The MVP race is over. If he was hoping to get that and hoping these games would count, these don't count. So I think at this point, he's looking at the playoffs, and I think he'll be fine. I think it's similar to in Cleveland his last go-round. Remember, they never had the great regular seasons you would expect them to have, but come playoff time, LeBron's a different player. So I think he'll be fine. Anthony Davis on this roller coaster ride is strange. How often do you see a top 5-6 player in the league go single digits in scoring? It's just odd. That's a bit of a concern, but mostly, guys, it's the supporting cast and their inability to hit open shots. You saw Markieff Morris. I mean, nobody was within 15 feet of him on that highlight we showed, and he missed the three. They're shooting 25% from three in the bubble. That's worse than the league. They're shooting 39% overall in the bubble. Worse than the league. They're averaging 90-something points. They're the only team in the bubble averaging fewer than 100 points a game. So their shooting is a problem. KCP, Danny Green, both under 25%. Alex Caruso, he looks okay defensively. He's shooting 11% from three. So these guys have got to hit open shots. The one guy that's actually playing consistently well is Kyle Kuzma. Maybe that's a good sign. But outside of him, these other guys are just missing shots.
Man, you just told me that I ain't got nothing to worry about, and you just laid out all those problems. But I got a lot to worry about.
I think they'll start hitting them.
Well, I hope they start.
I just shoot 11%. Caruso, come on.
I think the biggest thing for me was concerning is that the inconsistency in what I'm seeing with Anthony Davis. How you have a 34, a 14, a 42, and a 9. I mean, against OKC? They ain't got nobody that can stop you. LeBron is not being consistent. I agree with you. But they can't hit shots. I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe somebody put a lid on the basket. Maybe they need to go see Ms. Rudolph and about that monkey. But something ain't right. I mean, how you go 5 of 37? 5 of 37. And a lot of these, man, they're not even close. They hitting on the corner three, Chris. They hitting the sides of the backboard. They hitting the back of the rim. I'm like, is that what you're aiming at? Because how you hit the side of the backboard, how you hit the back of the rim, and you in the corner of the three? Man, I was like, it ain't looking good. See, and plus, the thing is, you give that team that's going to be the AC, they be like, man, they can be had. Oh, they can get got. And you looks like it's going to be Portland because Memphis has stepped off a cliff. I don't see Memphis winning another game. Jared Jackson, their second best player, is hurt. So they look like they're about to go 0-for in the bubble. And it looked like it might come down between San Antonio and Portland. But Portland got firepower. Those two guards can be dynamic, Nurkic. So Lakers need to pick it up. The Lakers need to pay. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. They need to play. They know they haven't played well. You don't want to go. I don't care what anybody says. You don't want to go into the playoffs playing like they're playing. Even though these games doesn't count, they've already clinched the number one seed. I don't want to go into the playoffs looking like that.
Shannon, you just left out the New Orleans Pelicans.
Y'all ain't doing nothing.
You left them out.
They ain't doing nothing.
You're going to regret leaving them out. And we'll start seeing that in just a couple of hours here because they're playing at 10:30 Pacific time, right?
Yeah.
10:30 or 1:30?
Yeah, 1:30 Eastern time.
Chris Broussard, I tried to explain to my man Shannon Sharp earlier in the show that missing three-point shots is nothing really that new. Now, they haven't been shooting 25% from three during the regular season, but they have ranked all the way down at 23rd in the NBA in three-point shooting for the whole regular season. They're a poor three-point shooting team to start with, and they're an even worse free-throw shooting team because they rank 28th if you take all the regular season stats, pre-pandemic, post, you know, and then into the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
They rank 28th in free throw shooting, 23rd overall in three-point shooting. They're a poor shooting team, period. They can negate that because they have been, overall, the third best defensive efficiency team in the league. That's extraordinary. Yeah. My hat's off everything. Mm-hmm. I give you props for that. And that is led and inspired by LeBron James.
Oh, you see him on D.
Okay. All right. He has shown me that. Didn't really show me that much last night. Because that team just decided not to play last night.
Yeah, they shouldn't even took the floor.
And it wasn't that they got shot out of the gym by the Thunder. The Thunder shot 5-for-24 from three, so they only made 5 and shot 20.8%. But your team shot 5-of-37, so it's 5-to-5. But still, you never led in this game because your co-star did not care about playing last night. And I remind everybody that the Anthony Davis, who took 14 shots in the first quarter against Utah and came out on a mission to say, watch this against Utah. The Lakers psychologically own Utah. But last night, he took 9 total shots. Is that right? No, 11 total shots. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember any of them because they were all uninspired and forgettable. So, Chris, we did a story a couple days ago reported from the bubble that LeBron and Anthony Davis have decided to say no to shoot-arounds. The tradition, the historic tradition of game day morning shoot-arounds, we're not getting out of bed, especially in the bubble. Chris, as you know, the bubble ride to the arena, it's actually a walk. It's a 5-minute, 3-minute, 2-minute bus ride to these arenas. So it's not that hard to go get up some shots on game day morning. And I would suggest it's time for LeBron and AD to get their golden tails out of bed and get to the shoot around. If nothing else, just to change your luck, change your mindset, and feel a little better that you did. LeBron said after the game, we're going to put in the work. Well, you haven't been putting in any work in shoot-arounds because you're not going anymore. So I would suggest you better start doing something to defeat the contagious, just pathetic three-point shooting because it's rubbing off on everybody. It always goes from bad to worse. AD said after the game, oh, one of these nights we'll hit 20 or 25. But still, maybe they will one of these nights. But in general, you're a poor three-point shooting team, and you lost Avery Bradley, who's one of your more clutch, dependable three-point shooters and obviously defensive aces. So you better try to figure out how to break the contagion down in the bubble, so to speak.
Yeah, the interesting thing with them, if you look at their roster, they've got guys that get streaky from three-point land, right? Mm-hmm. But none of them are really great. Danny Green can get hot. We know that. We've seen that in the finals in the past. But Danny can also be very cold from three.
Trust me. KCP. Yeah.
Right. You know that.
I know.
With the Spurs, all of their guys, like, there's not a Kyle Korver or, you know, certainly not a Klay Thompson, but a guy that you know it's automatic. He's hitting it from three. They've got guys that are streaky. And Deion Waiters, I've liked a lot of what I've seen, but obviously he is throwing up bricks from three-point land. And again, I don't want to have to count on Deion or J.R. Smith. J.R. seems kind of on the outs as far as being in that rotation, but I don't want to have to count on either of those guys. Skip, I would agree. I mean, maybe make a change up. It's interesting because the Lakers clearly took the entire regular season very importantly and very seriously. AD and LeBron rarely sat out, and now they seem to be taking a different approach where, you know, we just want to be ready for the playoffs. We've clinched the one seed and things like that. They may need to backtrack and just play hard these last, what, four games and then go into the playoffs rolling.
But that's my only point. That's my only point. The shots go in, they don't go in. Okay, I can live with that. But that effort that they put forth last night, nah, y'all got to miss me with that one. I can't deal with that. That's the problem that I got, Chris. I understand that this is a make or miss league, and guys get hot. And like you said, they don't have a Klay Thompson that you can just basically say, man, he get that wide open, that's going to be automatic. They got streaky shooters. They got guys that can go hit five, six, seven in a game. And then the next game, the next two games, they might not go make five combined. We get that. But that effort, nobody gave a damn last night about that game.
Mm.
And that's concerning to me.
So, Chris.
It'll be interesting. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Do you think they will give a you-know-what about tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, versus those scrappy Houston Rockets?
I was just about to bring that up. That's a great question because you can look at it several ways. Are they upset, and do they really want to show Houston that, hey, okay, we're don't worry about us. We're still the team to beat. Or is some of their confidence shaken, and do they go out thinking, well, if we play hard and lose to the Rockets, does that give the Rockets any type of edge? Does that hurt some of our guys' confidence even more? It would be easier to go out there, not really play hard, maybe play LeBron and AD half the game.
Yep.
And if you lose, you know, you can. We really didn't take it seriously. So I'm really interested to see what their approach is. I would love to see AD and LeBron play and go hard and this be a real game.
Mm.
The Rockets feel confident. They've already beaten the Lakers. So they feel confident they can beat them.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. It'll be interesting to see how they play
tonight. Wait a second.
Okay.
Is it possible?
I think Shannon's about to pick the Clippers with me and Skip.
Well, maybe. Is it possible that tonight LeBron and AD only play a half back-to-back because we're getting near the playoffs? So maybe that point and a half. Maybe I should take that point and a half.
I think you should.
Huh?
It's more fun.
No. You ain't get no point and a half if they say they only play a half.
Well, I don't know. That would be the gamble on this, right?
No.
I'll take it.
Nope.
Oh, Shannon, somebody backed out.
Come on. Oh, my gosh. At this point, Chris, we have made so many bets around here. Honestly, we're making up for lost time.
I'm losing track.
Always a pleasure to chat with you. Chris Broussard will check in, I'm sure, later this week. Thank you.
No mercy.
While Zion has been impressive in his rookie season, much of the focus has been on his conditioning. As Dr. Brian Sutterer puts it, Zion is in a, quote, race against his own body. Dr. Sutterer also said he thinks Zion has regressed substantially since transitioning from Duke to the NBA, saying he appears less explosive, less conditioned, and slower on defense. The doctor also said, quote, I feel like nobody really wants to call it like we all see it. Shannon, how long will Zion's career last?
Skill, what have I been doing from day one?
Mm.
Even though it's very unpopular, people like, well, you're body shaming the guy and you're putting another black. I want Zion to have a long, fruitful, productive career.
But you're not seeing it.
But I don't see it. Mm. And he just echoed everything that I've been saying, Skip.
Mm-hmm.
Skip, at Duke, Zion was not playing 2-minute increments. He was not playing 4-minute increments. Zion Williams in a 40-minute ball game was playing 35, 37 minutes. He ain't been nowhere near that. Mm-hmm. He's been hurt at every level. High school, college, NBA, summer league. Skip, what have I always said? If you're limping to the season, you're limping out of it.
Mm.
He goes away. He had a chance to get... Skip, he bigger than when he left. That's all the doctor's saying.
Yeah.
If you will get, everybody always say, Skip, I'm my toughest critic. If you're a professional, Skip, it's you versus you. Because you determine the things you do. Skip, if somebody beats me because they're better, okay, I can live with that. But don't, I'm not going to allow you to beat me because the way I train or lack of training or the way I ate or lack of nutrition. Nah, he's at that level now, Skip. He have access. I can understand, Skip, if it's a situation because, you know, sometimes it's like NASCAR. You got the Bush brothers.
Okay.
They're at the front end.
Yep.
And then you got, as you go further back, Skip, you got guys that, you know, on a little small budget. Mm-hmm. You don't even really expect them to win races. Mm. But Zion, bro, you got access to me. You just signed a $100 million Nike deal. Mm. You got another, you know, probably $8, $9 million a year from the Pelicans, plus the other endorsements. There is no reason he can't have a full-time chef. There's not a reason Zion Williamson conditioning is not better than what it is. Mm. Now, to it, Skip, when you rehab, all you're trying to do is just trying to get the body back to point A.
Mm-hmm.
You're not training. And so he had to rehab, limped into the season. He rehabbing. So he didn't get an opportunity to condition properly. So I'm saying after this season, I want you to see how he comes back next year.
Mm.
So because he won't have to have any surgeries, he won't have to rehab, he will get an opportunity to train. But Skip, it is. I don't see 10 years. At that size, I do not see 10 years. Mm. I do not see the player that he can be with that body playing 10 years. I just don't do it. I just don't see it, Skip. I'm sorry.
I hear you, and I'm about to go against my better judgment on this. I still believe in this young man, and he just turned, 21 years? 20. What am I saying? Yeah, he just turned 20 years of age. Still an NBA baby. Still trying to figure his body out. Probably still kind of growing into his body in a way. But he is such an athletic freak and such a basketball freak. I believe he can figure this out and play 15 Hall of Fame years. That's what I'm seeing so
far. At that size?
Not at that size, but he's going to have to reshape himself.
Yeah.
There's this rare wrecking ball power and touch in that body.
Mm-hmm.
Even at whatever he is, 300. What he did the other night was just extraordinary. I sat back in awe because he did score 23 in 25 minutes. And for what it's worth, he was allowed to come back in and close the basketball game. And as soon as he stepped on the court, all of his teammates, you could just see their body language pep up. Like, we got him back on the floor.
Skip,
okay, I got it.
Think about what you just said, though. You said he played 25 minutes. That's only half the game.
Okay, but by his standards, it's eternity, right? From what we've been seeing from him, these bursts.
The 15 minutes, the first outing.
All right, so the YouTube doctor, compelling points, all. And let's start with, if you go watch his Duke highlights, this is the doctor on YouTube, compared to now, the difference is profound. In my opinion, his athleticism and conditioning have regressed substantially. He's less explosive, less conditioned, slower on defense. And already has had a portion of his meniscus removed. And as you know, that's the cushion in your knee. And you can go in. I've had three of those scopes on my medial meniscus. Three times I've been scoped. But I've been blessed enough, I'm knocking on wood, that my surgeon, thank you, Dr. Glashow, was able to go in and take just a portion away. So I still have enough condition that I can still, knock on wood, thank you, God, I can still run. I ran for an hour this morning. I run a lot. I run outside on the weekends. I can get away with it. I have to ice every... I never miss icing a night. I sit watching games with ice packs on both knees. But you can get away with it having had this operation.
You can get away with it. Skip, you have Zion size. Can you imagine?
Okay, but if you have 300 pounds of force coming down on what's a smaller cushion...
Yes.
It's going to cause problems.
Yes.
So the catch-22 of all this right now is he needs to play his way into shape because we both concur. He's not a spin class exercise bike rider. He's not a swimmer that we know of. Mm-hmm. Those are the ways you could condition yourself off the basketball court to lose some weight and gain some sort of I guess conditioning or just some endurance,
right.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know if it equates exactly to playing basketball.
Right.
But what he wants to do is he wants to play his way into shape. Well, unfortunately, the more minutes you play, the more you risk your knees balking or barking or maybe breaking, right?
Well, guess what you can't do, Skip? You kind of exercise a bad diet. Mm. I don't care how much he play basketball.
You cannot. I agree.
I don't care. He can't play basketball long enough to outdo a bad diet. Mm. It's impossible.
Hey, I learned this in my early marathon days. When I was training, I was running 100 miles a week. Do the math on that. And I was eating like a pig. I was pigging every... Because I thought, I can get away with it. I was eating desserts. I was eating everything
you
wrong.
You were lean, but body fat was probably 25.
Well, it was not good. And it was way less than it is now. And I'm not running anywhere near 100 miles
right.
a week. You cannot outpace it.
No.
You can't exercise off if you're done. It starts... You are what you eat.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to hit some crossroads of enlightenment,
right.
of eureka, I get it,
right.
and he hasn't hit it yet. Because the best point the doctor made is that he had 4 months to start making positive strides, and to me, he's regressed. So he had 4 months, pandemic, hiatus,
mm-hmm.
and they released one picture when they went back for mm-hmm. workouts, and it looked pretty good. And I don't know if they doctored it or what. I don't know, because a lot of these teams release these pictures, and I don't think you can trust them anymore.
No, I don't either.
Right?
I don't either.
Okay, because now he does look like he regressed. So mm-hmm. what did he do during the hiatus?
What didn't he do?
He ate, right? And
yes.
he ate the wrong... You can eat. You can eat all you want, as you well know, if you eat the right thing.
Right.
You can eat 5-6 times a day. If you eat smaller meals, right things.
Well, Skip, right? I went to the pandemic, I lost 10 pounds.
You okay?
I lost 10 pounds.
You know, I saw a number of people do that.
Yes.
Yeah. In part because it could be stress-related or, you know, like you're cooped up and you're not going out to restaurants where you tend to overeat at a restaurant.
Right. But I think for me, though, Skip, is that, I can be 300 pounds. I mean, I'm sitting up here and I'm debating you every day.
Yeah.
My performance is not determined
nope.
by my body size.
Mm-mm.
His performance is directly attributed to that. And he needs to get, like I said, Skip, I'm going to say, you know what? This year, throw it away.
Okay.
You came into the season, you were injured, and you had to rehab.
And do remember, he did have a personal family issue.
Yes.
He had to go address.
Right.
And he left the bubble.
Right.
And he missed all of the three scrimmage games. Okay, but he missed being able to play his way into shape, right?
Skip, you can't play Skip. I promise you, if you sit on your butt for 4 months and then you say, you know what, I'm about to get in shape in 3 weeks, that ain't happening.
No.
That ain't happening.
Nope, I agree.
I mean, Skip, you remember training camps used to be like 8, 9, 10 weeks, and guys would play their way into shape.
Mm-hmm.
But not now, Skip, because then you hit the ground running. So you had to get in shape. When I got into the league, you had to get in shape. You had to come to camp in shape
mm-hmm.
because there was no dilly-dallying around. There's none of this what they got going on now. You have, you know, all this because this is a different situation. But I'm going to throw this year away. I'm going to say, you know what, Zion? You got injured. So you had to rehab. You didn't get an opportunity to properly mm-hmm. to train. But, Skip, starting when they kick back up, there'll be no excuses.
Yep.
He should have no excuses why he can't come back at 265. And says, okay, now, listen, mm-hmm. jump ball.
Mm-hmm. David Griffin, his GM, continues to defend him by saying, pump the brakes. He's still so young, and we have to let him slowly ramp back up. Okay? So
that's what's concerning. He's so young and so big.
Yep.
Big young people normally be bigger older people.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
I mean... And then that's just the way it works.
Okay, but I'm going to remind you, 23 points in 25 minutes was spectacular given that I told you the next day. What if he ever got in shape?
Yeah.
What do you think would happen?
I want to find out.
I hope that at some point, maybe you guys could have a conversation, Shannon. I mean, I know that you've experienced it. You understand the importance
yes.
of it. I mean, who knows? Maybe at this point, got to make it happen. All right.
Mercy.
Tom Brady just might be getting the Belichick treatment from his new coach, contrary to what most people expected. Known as a player's coach, Bruce Arians said Brady is, quote, just another guy. He gets cussed out like everybody else, so it's no different that way. Shannon, do you believe Arians treats Brady just like all the other guys?
Hell no. That's what made Coach Belichick so unique, Skip. I've never seen or heard of a coach speaking, talking to someone as respected, as accomplished as Tom Brady in the manner in which Coach Belichick speaks to him. Now, Mike Shanahan talked to Bubby Brister different than he talked to John Elway. He can say things in front of the team. When I say publicly, Skip, I mean in front of the team.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about in front of, you know, go on a radio show or do an interview or something like that. I'm talking about publicly. Do you actually think Bruce Arians would say about Tom Brady what he said about Jameis? Well, hell, we won nine games with him, and he turned the ball over 35 times. Hell, we can win that many without him. You actually think he would say that about Tom Brady? No, come on, Skip. That's what makes Coach Belichick unique. Now, I believe if he has an issue he wants to address with Tom, he'll pull Tom to the side like most quarterbacks did with their established quarterback. You weren't around when Coach Landry had Roger Staubach. He's not talking to Roger Staubach.
No, I was like, around.
You were around? Mm-hmm. But he wasn't talking to him. He wasn't. Well, Coach Landry didn't curse, I don't think.
No,
so,
but he undressed, so to speak, in the, you know, when you were in a film set, and he took you apart.
Yeah. So I don't believe Bruce Arians, and I've heard he is a player's coach, but B.A. will speak his mind.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to see a scenario that he was talking to Carson Palmer at Arizona, or he was talking to a Peyton Manning, or he was talking to an Andrew Luck in front of the team like he would just some willy-nilly. Now, I don't see that happening, Skip. I don't believe it. It sounds good to make Tom feel like he's just one of the guys, but that was a unique situation because what Coach Belichick was able to do, he wasn't Tom Brady yet.
Mm.
I don't believe you can do that to a guy that's won 6 Super Bowls now. Tommy, what the hell are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
That's why we lost the game, because I don't believe you can do that now. He caught Tom the 6th-round draft pick, and you can get away with that. You're not getting away with that with an established quarterback, Skip.
Which is why this quote hit me the wrong way. It rubbed me the wrong way. Because it felt like Bruce Arians was speaking with his ego instead of his head.
Exactly.
It felt like this is a coach who's been around a long time, coached a lot of great ones, Peyton and Roethlisberger and Luck and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, he's been around.
Yes.
Not been great as a head coach, but... What's he won? 1 playoff game, if memory serves. So with Luck. Yeah. Okay. So the point was, no, I was talking about as a head coach.
Oh, okay. Yeah. My bad.
Yeah.
Well, he was the head coach because John, what's the guy? He got cancer, Skip. And remember, Chuck Pagano.
Correct. So Bruce Arians does have a healthy ego. I've been around him. I like him a lot. He's fun to listen to. He's fun to talk to. He can really speak football in the way that you would enjoy talking ball with him. But in this case, I think he sort of leaped before he looked on this one, and his pride welled up, and he said, he's just another guy. He gets cussed out like everybody else. Bruce. You're talking about a man who just turned 43 years old, who is the clear-cut goat of your sport, and you are blessed to have him. And the truth is, he is as coachable a quarterback as has ever come down the pipe.
Right.
I do believe that. And it came from his father, who taught him the right way. Mm-hmm. You listen to.
Always
you do what
coach.
That coach says.
Yep.
And I believe that he will do what Bruce says, but I also think they're going to have a little meeting of the minds because you've made the point again and again. Offensive philosophy is a little clashy because one's no risk it, no biscuit, right?
Exactly.
And Tom is pick you to pieces.
Right.
So you're going to have a meeting of those minds somewhere. Mm-hmm. You can throw some deep balls occasionally.
Right.
But in general, Tom wants to three-step driver out of the shotgun. He wants to throw it to the backs. He wants to throw a little underneath to the slot, to the tight end on the little curls, you know, like he wants to pick you to pieces and go 80 yards in 12 plays, okay?
Right.
So they're going to have to figure that out.
The B.A. want to go 80 yards in 3 plays.
Yes, or 1 play.
Yes.
Okay, because his ego gets in the way, because that's kind of what he's been known for.
Right.
That's his mantra and his trademark in the NFL is bombs away, right?
Right.
So to me, this was a little scary because, you know, he does what I say. I don't think he'll do exactly what you say. He's been around too long. He's been too successful. He's won 6 Super Bowls in 9 tries. You haven't.
Right.
Right?
And you think you gonna talk, you gonna talk to him just like he's a, you know, a second year, third year undrafted free agent quarterback? No, you're not. You're not talking to him like especially established quarterback. Yep. Skip. And I'm like I'm saying, you know, obviously he's in as established as there is.
Yep.
Skip, there are times that John might do something wrong. Mike would get on to me. I just take it. I know that's for John. I take it. 84, what the hell are you doing? Mm. Is that as fast as you can run? He just overthrew me. That's all he did, Mike. You're right. My bad. You're right. Mm. I need to get on my horse a little faster, Mike. You're right. I'm gonna go ahead and bite that one.
Okay. So here's I'm gonna give you an example. If Brady misses a read or a throw in a practice, just in front of the team, and pardon my language, would he say, "Damn it, Tom, what are you thinking?" Would Bruce Arians say that to Tom Brady? Would he say that? I don't think he would say that. I just don't think he would dare to do it because you're talking about NFL royalty in Tom Brady.
Let me tell you how Mike Shanahan would do that. If John missed a read in practice, let me see that play again. Mm-hmm. How about that one?
Okay.
That's what you do. You missed a read. Let me see that play again.
Or he might say, "Sharp, you got to run that route a little harder." Right?
Defense, man, look here. B.A., I get it. But there's a pecking order here. And even though Tom is coachable, the man got pride now. He understands what he's accomplished in this league now. The guys understand where they are. So, you know, Sean McVay is not talking to Aaron Donald like he's talking to a second or third year player that's not as accomplished. That's just the way it goes. And you understand that. It's just like at a normal job. Somebody that's been at a job that's higher up, that's the way it rolls. You get it and you deal with it.
Okay, so my bottom line to this discussion is, if Bruce Arians decides he has to impose his will or his ego on Tom Brady, this will fail.
Yeah.
He will fail.
Let me tell you what you do, Skip. You call Tom and you're like, Tom, now I'm going to get on you in front of everybody.
You can do it that way.
Yeah,
I believe there was some operating with Belichick that way.
Yeah, you do it like that. And so, hey, because that happens. Because you understand as an established player, that happened with me at Savannah State. Coach Davis would call me and he'd say, home, I'm going to get on you a little bit because I need the team to pick it up. Okay, Coach.
Remember what Chad Johnson said? I think he's still Chad Ochocinco at that point. His first day as a New England Patriot was the first day at camp. Brady called the team together. As a team, they watched the tape of the Jets' loss in Foxborough that ended the previous year in the playoffs.
Correct.
And he reamed Brady from start to finish watching the tape.
Right.
And Chad was in awe of it, and it made Chad say, uh-oh, if he does that to 12, what's he going to do to me?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So that's the message sent to the team. Now, I don't know if Belichick warned Brady before the film session, I'm going to come after you.
Right. But the thing is, Skip, you can do that because guess what? Brady came in as a sixth-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. He didn't play a whole lot his rookie year. And so you can kind of lay the groundwork. Had Tom come in as a first-round draft pick, and he plays, he's not coaching him like that, Skip. Mm-hmm. He's not. Mm-hmm. It's just not. Just like LT, he's not talking to LT like that. Even though he's the defensive coordinator, he's not talking to LT. Parcells not talking to LT like that. Mm-hmm. So I get it, Bruce. You're the head coach.
Yep.
But you treat them all fair. You don't treat them all the same. Mm. What did Jimmy say, Skip? The guy fell asleep in the meeting room, and he cut him. So the reporter asked him, say, what had it been Troy Aikman? He said, I woke his ass up. you treat them all fair. You don't treat them all the same.
Or Michael Irvin. Yeah. You just wake him up.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
No mercy.
On Fat Joe's Instagram show this week, Allen Iverson got into the NBA GOAT debate and may have changed his tune. AI said, quote, as much as I love Michael Jordan, LeBron James is the one. Back in 2018, Iverson called LeBron the greatest player of his generation, but said MJ was still hands down the GOAT. So, Shannon, why do you think Iverson changed his mind here?
Why, Shannon?
Hey, yeah, baby, you know why? Because he's seen LeBron James put together a resume. Even though he played in the era of Jordan, he played against Jordan. And Skip, you and I, we discuss this all the time. When you play in a generation, it's hard for you to see the generation before or the generation after is better than yours. You hold on to that, Skip, because you played in that era. So you want that era to be the best because you feel if I played in that era, that means I'm one of the best. Mm. But, you know, he's like, look at LeBron. Now, MVP level in year 17, he's on his way to his 13th first-team All-NBA, which would be a record. His 16th All-NBA selection, which would be a record. Mm. And so, Skip, when you look at it and he says, hold on, This man went to 8 straight finals. Mm. Man, I'm good. He's going to evolve. Mm. I mean, why is it that if you say something, you can't have a change of heart? Why you can't have your John Q moment? Why you can't, you know, evolve and say, man, look, after what I've been seeing over the last 17 years, having played with that guy, played against that guy, having been on all-star teams with him, yeah, I think I've seen enough. Yeah, that's it. We got a new goat.
Really?
He's a MJ is MJ. He said, but LeBron that won.
Really?
He's a LeBron James that won.
Mm.
That what it is, yep.
He is the one today, right now.
Today,
he's the one. But Allen tends to wake up, Allen AI does, and say, you know, Kevin Durant's the one. Because for a while he was saying KD's the one. Out of sight, out of mind. But now AI is also out of sight, out of mind.
Don't do this, kid.
He wants to be loved. He wants to be liked.
Bubba Chuck is a fan.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He wants to be accepted on social media. He wants to be back in the spotlight because he's been out of it too long. And the best way to get likes and get love right now is to say, it's all about LeBron. He is the one right now.
Well, he getting hate right now from across the table from me. Mm. So it ain't all about likes. He getting some hate, too.
Mm.
I see it seeping out your skin.
Somebody has to be objective when it comes to LeBron James. And obviously, AI is not. So what? He's playing to the crowd.
Oh, my goodness.
He's preaching to the choir because he wants the choir to sing for Allen.
Okay, can I ask you a question, okay? Skip? Why is it that if somebody says that someone is better than Michael Jordan is hate. They're doing it for all the wrong or reasons that's not true. Why can't they have their opinion? Why can't it be true?
Mm. As recently as 2018, here's what Allen Iverson said about Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Okay.
I love LeBron. I have nothing but love for LeBron. That's the best player of his generation. One of the best ever. And then he went on and on about what a great husband, father, role model, school in Akron,
yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. But we're talking about Mike, okay? And he was doing it like practice. We're talking about practice. We're talking about Mike. We're talking about Mike.
Yeah.
We're talking about Black Jesus.
Yeah.
And he went on to say, there's only one Mike.
Yeah,
and
it is.
He is the GOAT.
Yeah.
And he has always been the GOAT, and he will always be the GOAT because I don't see anybody on the horizon who is going to challenge Michael's goatness.
Skip,
it's over. The case is closed.
Skip.
And the door got slammed by the last dance.
No, it didn't. Yes, it did. You do realize, Skip, in 2022, and like in 10 years from now, people are going to look back and say, man, you're 2020, which means you a mess.
Mm.
That's what it's going to be. So he evolved. In 2018, that's what he thought. But then he started like, hold on. This man in year 17, and he's still in MVP contention. Mm. He's still going to be first team all NBA with a unanimous selection.
Mm.
Man, I got to say, he had a John Q moment. He had a change of heart, Skip, and it's okay.
Did he call LeBron James the GOAT? No, he didn't. He just said, he's the one, dog. He's the one right now.
That
gotta
say,
give
you
it
added
up.
That now.
He's the one right
you added
now.
That now.
No, because it's between the lines. It's screaming.
No. Don't stop reading between the lines. He told you what he said. See?
He's the one.
That's the mistake.
Did he say he's the GOAT? He's just the one.
No. We ain't no reading between no lines. I don't need you to read between the lines.
Mm.
It's right there. What did he say, Skip?
One.
Okay, he said he the one.
GOAT? No.
The one.
One now.
No, it is ain't now. You keep
now.
Adding now.
Now. That's
you
right.
I see it
right here. Now. Wrote it in.
You added that.
The GOAT. What? He said, Mike's the GOAT.
I just want to know.
One and only GOAT.
Why is it that anybody that says anything other than Michael Jordan is the best player of all time is the GOAT? Why is it that they're hating or not telling the truth? I just need to know that.
I find it offensive that people would even put LeBron in the same conversation for GOAT with Michael Jordan.
We passed him.
He went 6-0 in the finals with 6 MVPs.
So he only played 6 years?
No.
Okay, good.
But those happened at the end of his Chicago run, and they would have kept him. He would have won 9 straight if he had. Yes, he would have.
No.
Or let's make it 6.
8.
Yeah, he would have won 8 straight.
No, he wouldn't.
And if he just stayed another couple of years, he would have won 9 and 10. He was highly capable. Nobody could deal with him.
Skip, the wheel was starting to fall off.
No, it was
Scottie not. Scottie Pippen was going to bounce, get that big payday. Luke Longley was gone. Steve Kerr was gone. No, They were not going to, you know, Dennis Rodman was bouncing. It was over. It was over. He got his six. He did 3-3. It was over. And in between, Olajuwon got them. So let it go.
He won 10 scoring titles to LeBron's one. And in 1 year, he won the scoring title and he won Defensive Player of the Year. That's game over.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Look,
it's over.
Didn't Will tell you? Wilt said, look, I could have won more. Wilt won the scoring title, rebounding title, and an assist title. So stop this notion. I want you to stop thinking because someone says someone other than Michael Jordan is the GOAT, they're hating. Or they're doing it for
I'm
likes.
I'm not saying they're hating.
Yes, you did. You just said.
He just wants to be loved. Fame by association. Oh, I'll say LeBron's the one. They'll love me on social media. They will. And they will.
Okay,
what you tell me? I don't follow LeBron. So what's he got? 100 million followers?
On three different platforms, yeah.
Okay.
He ain't got Cristiano Ronaldo got 252 million on IG.
Okay.
Let your boy borrow about five of them.
Okay.
But Skip, you need to stop this notion that if somebody says that Michael Jordan isn't the GOAT, they're hating.
It's not hate. It's just the fact the Red 23 was the mentally toughest performer in the history of sports. The fake,
what I gotta do with the GOAT?
The fake 23, the one over here in purple and gold, is one of the mentally softest superstars I have ever closely observed.
Stop.
And we're about to talk about that in just a moment in our next topic.
That's not true. And we're about to change our number anyway. So we're gonna get away. We're gonna distance ourselves for 20. We're gonna have us a Kobe moment, rest your soul. We're gonna have us a Kobe moment moment where we're gonna win championships in two different numbers.
Is that right?
That's what we go. We already done that. Oh, we might get a third number. We might, instead of, because we did that, is, you know, we did six. Got them in Miami, 23 back in Cleveland. So we're going to finish this thing off at 23 in the purple and gold, and then we're going to go to another number. So we're going to get championships in four different numbers. Who can do that?
The Red 23 was the greatest mid-range jump shooter I have ever seen. He was cold-blooded killer.
Skip.
The other guy can't shoot a lick.
He can shoot. We got a high field goal percentage. We shoot better from the three. We got more rebounds, more assists, more points.
We didn't try to shoot.
He couldn't.
Of course, there was one finals game against Portland when he just kept doing this because he wasn't really a three-point shooter, and he just said, I keep making them.
You remember what my guy did? You remember what my guy did with the mask on against your guy when he was in Miami? And he went for 61, and he hit those eight threes?
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, you do remember.
I don't.
You remember it?
Huh.
All I'm saying is my guy got, how many? 30. Oh, and we done passed you. Got 100 more games with double-digit scoring than you. I mean, we about to sit that thing. I ain't going to never be broken.
Millions of kids around this country for the first time watched the real Jordan on The Last Dance, and they all sat back and said, you know what? I got to give it up.
I want to be like Bron.
It's over.
I'm going to be like Bron.
It's all about
Bron.
The shoes.
Hey, but Skip, we're not debating the shoes. We're debating goatism as far as play. I mean, LeBron James is going to be LeBron James no matter what he plays.
Shannon, he's 3-6 in the finals. He's lost six finals. He suffered the worst superstar meltdown I have ever witnessed in a finals against Dallas. Against Dallas.
About to be 4-6.
So many meltdowns.
Hey, Skip, he had one meltdown. Stop saying he had so many. One.
He melted down against Boston
before
he left Cleveland. He melted down against Orlando the year before in Cleveland the first go-around.
Averaging 34, 8-7. He meltdown, huh?
4-5-6. Loss. Against Boston, 4-5-6.
No, he lost 5-6. They lost 4-2. We could have got it back to Cleveland for game seven. You already know what happened. Because we don't lose game seven, Skip.
It is good to get some MJ LeBron in there. And I like the word goatism, you know, around here. Very important. No mercy.